Blog Talk Radio. Once again, welcome to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I am your host, your groove mistress, spiritual advisor, Madame Perry. But you don't have to call me Madame. You can call me Jen, JP, Perry, Ms. Perry, your friend, whatever. I'm just happy to be here and happy that you're here too. And so grateful for the stats and everything on this show. And by the way, and this is something people have asked me about a lot. So, yes, returning here as my co-host tonight, like she has a lot lately, is the BFF Supreme. She is a certified behavior consultant, relationship coach, and podcaster with a new podcast coming soon called TV Therapy. You know Kenya Colbert. Welcome, Kenya.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Jennifer. It's so good to be back. I miss my little comfy seat right here. It feels so good.
Right here in the genie bottle. This is this salon. People, somebody recently asked me, say, Madame Perry, what's that for? Well, it's a salon like the old cultural salons in Europe and Asia in the past where there would be a patroness of the art. You and I, and they would invite authors, musicians, artists, thought leaders of the day, philosophers into their home for a weekly salon to share ideas, works in progress. But ours is which sounds like something, you know, we would love to do, but it's a little hard even before the pandemic. So my salon is in cyberspace, and one of the first guests that was ever on, you remember this, Robert Taylor, went back and told everybody, I've been to Madame Perry's salon. It looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So that's how I became the Jeannie bottle in outer space.
I remember it so well.
So I wanted to say, we're looking forward to your next podcast, TV Therapy, because people were missing you on the air.
I'm so excited. You guys, stay tuned. I have something very unique and original that people like our special guest today, they're going to love this because I did a little flip on this whole podcasting thing, guys. So you know I've been out there, but I had to come back and give it to you real. So stay tuned. TV Therapy Podcast with me, your host, Kenya Colbert.
Well done, Kenya. So, get your little commercial in. Well done. Okay, so anyway, let's get going. I wanted to say thanks to everybody also that's been following and sharing and putting nice reviews. One person put a review, I think it was on either Spotify, no, it was on a Stitcher or something that said, you know, the thing that they like about it is that when they listen, it might be somebody well-known that they're already a fan of. It might be someone they've never heard of, but they always enjoy and they learn. Because, you know, my audience is very, very smart, very savvy. Sometimes they'll go and find out who it is and learn more about them than I do. But anyway, I want to thank everybody who's coming. So the more you do that, share, follow, review, I can continue to have great guests just like...
Wait. I know what you're doing. I know. This is where you name some of the recent guests. Like Grammy-winning saxophone man, Dave Koz, or actor-comedian and star of Netflix's Insatiable, Arden Marine, or why Wakanda Matters author, Dr. Sheena Howard. She was the first Black woman to win Disney's Eisner Award.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Okay. That's good. I think you should go with that. That's good. Stay right there.
Thanks, Kenya. well, I think everybody, thank you. I think everybody knows tonight's guest. And you know him from music, He's on TV. He's a writer, actor, singer, everything. And I and everybody knows there is only one commercial ever in the history, of commercials that no matter how many times you see it, nobody, and I put this in the bio, in the description I wrote of the show, nobody ever mutes it or goes to get a sandwich. And so I am just thrilled. I am so excited to introduce my guest tonight, Kenya. Kenya, let's make a little room for him. It's his first time here in the Genie Bottle. I want him to have a nice fluffy cushion to sit on. Be comfy.
Scooting
please
over.
Welcome. DC, the brain soup. Come on in, DC.
Whoa,
sit down. Be comfy.
Well, it's kind of tight up in here, ain't it? I'm a big man. I'm gonna fit in this little bitty bottle. What y'all got going on up in here?
I'm squeezing tight.
We wanted to squeeze you in between us. That's why. So it's a bit purely selfish.
Hey, before we get started, I gotta get one thing off my chest. All right.
Oh.
Here we go. Sprinkle. All right. We ready now.
Perfect.
Every time I do that, people just fall out.
I love it.
Who you had you? Did you ever imagine that would be the power? That would be a superpower.
Well, my thinking was, because I'm an actor and I prepare for things, I was like, this is about ice cream. We have to have sprinkles because kids love sprinkles. I don't know why they love sprinkles. Sprinkles are kind of nasty to me, but they love sprinkles. So I had to come with different scenarios with sprinkles. And the director was like, DC, whatever you want to do. And that's how it happened. And, I mean, that was just... We had a ball that day. But the beauty of that commercial was that because I'm an actor, I didn't take it lightly. I knew what I had, right? And
yes.
I prepared for a whole month. And I said, I want to go into this with five or six things that I know can give a certain nuance to this commercial because I wanted kids to love it so much that when they looked at it, they look at their mama like, Mama, I want a party like that. And now we got problems. Right? Now every kid in America loves me because of sprinkles, right? But then every kid at heart loves me because of sprinkles. If you 90, 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, it don't matter. And people
oh
run up
God,
on
so
me
cool.
all the time, and that's their favorite part. And I've enjoyed anonymity for a while, but I was at the pharmacy the other day getting some pills because I'm old. And I wanted to get a drink.
Stop.
And the lady was like, all right, you pay for your drink now. And I tried to slide the card. And she was like, you know you got to stick it in the chip sprinkles. No, she didn't.
No,
she did not call me sprinkles. I looked at her. She was like, I don't care. Me and my daughter love you. I was like, you know what? I really appreciate that. You have made my day. My face might be all turned up and squinched up, but I love you too. I walked out of there, and then I was like, can you believe it? But then I said, you know what? Embrace it, boy. And I have
embraced it.
DC, the Brain Supreme, a.k.a. Mr. Sprinkle. Hey, I'm riding.
I love it.
Hey.
And ride
hey,
time.
Man.
I love it. I really do. This is fantastic. So your career first began, if we can go back to start with tag team and your partner, Steve Rowland, were you childhood friends or did you?
Yeah, we actually, I met Steve in 11th grade. And if anybody knows about homeroom back then, you're seated by alphabet. We both had the last name G. We sat next to each other. And Steve had a band. And it was like they played in the quad during lunch sometimes. I was like, I got to be in that band. Mm-hmm. Then I worked in the truancy office. And then Dr. Joyce Davis, because I'm from Denver, Manuel High School, and she was conductor of the choir, and I heard beautiful music. I was like, I got to be in that choir. And
wow.
Then we had our first high school dance, and some of Steve's friends were DJing. This is the beginning of hip-hop, too. I was like, ooh, I got to be a DJ. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to be one. Right, and I went and bought me two riggedy turntables and a Radio Shack mixer. I begged Miss Davis to be in the choir, and I beat Steve and them down till they let me in the band. And that's what kind of got it started. And I've just always loved music, right? And I didn't like it in the traditional way because, you know, parents want you to go play trumpet or play piano, and, you know, that's no fun. But being with your friends and y'all have a musical bond, and then you guys are learning together, that's what's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you grow up, you know, the band disbands because we all young people and we have to move apart. I went to college in Sacramento, and Steve went to the Art Institute in Atlanta, and I just learned how to DJ. And I remember I thought I was bomb. I went and did my first party for the Omega Psi Phi Soul Fraternity. Bomb, and started DJing, and the speakers blew. I was drinking a 40-ounce of Old English and lifted the wrong needle off the wrong turntable. It was getting ready to beat my butt. I don't know how I got out of that one. I was like, if all the cues just beat me up, for real. I was like, come on, y'all. Come on now. It's electric. It ain't me.
Way
it
back
me.
To Old English.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Please. That's why when you were talking about gin, I was like, one of them old Ratatouille flashback to gin and juice. Where I was DJ at Magic City and have three glasses, right? I'm like,
you
why ain't nobody buy me no drink?
Then,
hey, we just getting started. We just getting started.
You've been a little too long.
here we go, though. But I got better, right? And my senior year of college, I came down to Atlanta to visit Steve, and I had $500 in my pocket. They took me to Magic City, right? And our boy Jeff. And Tinkle and Sparkle got my $500 in a half hour. And I had to call my mom and get her to give me some more money because I didn't have no more money. It was supposed to last me a whole week. I didn't have no more money. I was like, Mama, I can't explain it. I ain't on drugs. I just need some money, right? And I knew I was moving to Atlanta. Went back, got a U-Haul truck, drove all across country, came down here. I remember the day I got here because we went to see Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee, and then we went to Magic City. Yep, and the DJ was having a bad night because he was probably drunk, and I was like, I could do this because I was getting ready to work at CNN. And security was like, yo, they're going to match right there. I was like, man, you need a DJ? I'm like, nah, I don't need no DJ. Come see me Monday. So I went down to see him Monday. And he was like, I don't need no DJ, but I need a cook. I'm like, heck yeah, I can chef. I cook better than most people's mamas. Did you hear that?
No, that's right.
I know. And he's like, you be the cook, and then you be the backup DJ. So I went upstairs, threw my apron on. I cooked two salads. You can cook a salad. And one order of chicken wings. One order of chicken wings. The daytime DJ was like, hey, man, I got to go to the bank, man. You take over? I'm like, sure. And back then, you know, that's the beginning of hip-hop. You don't let nobody on your turntables, right? You don't let nobody You don't let nobody drive your car. You don't let – there's a lot of things you don't let people do. I don't care how good of friends you are with them. And I got them ones and twos, and all them heads start turning, and all that money started flowing, and – all that booty was shaking, and by the end, we had everybody's money. And they was like, whoa, who is that? Well, that Sunday, we had a meeting. We have our, you know, monthly meeting. And 150 girls, management, DJs. And Magic's like, all right, be quiet. And then Indiegogo and Nikki got up. It was like, Magic, before we get started, we got one thing to say. We want him.
Yeah.
They pointed at me.
Whoa.
And Magic was like, all right, you up. And I've been the head DJ ever since. And, you know, it was that circumstance and that fate where things just switched. And because I'm a hustler and, you know, in a different sense of the word, because everybody has their definition of hustler, but I hustle. Smart, I hustle strong, I hustle long, I hustle any way you can hustle because that's how it's supposed to be. And
exactly.
Those clubs have served me well because I've brought so much joy to people through music. Mm-hmm. So this was happening even before Wolf, There It Is, right?
Yeah.
And it will always happen because my thing is at the beginning of hip-hop, there was only one question. Can you rock a party? Can you move the crowd? That's my life. That's the essence
of me. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters, and that's what I bring to acting. That's what I bring to voiceover. That's what I bring to SEO. That's what I bring to my financial, my licensed commodities broker, right? That's what I bring to all these things, because there are different avenues of hustles that everybody can apply to their life. And people are going to tell you, jack of all trades, master of none. DC, you're doing too many things. You got tentacles all over the place. I'm like, yeah. But if you hustle hard enough and live long enough, some of those trades become masterful in, right? And they help you become masterful in other things as you go along in life. And then they all become one because everything that you have serves you. And now you have not a toolbox, but a tool shed. Everybody's like, look at my toolbox. I got tools here. I got tools here. I'm like, okay, why don't y'all walk over here? And I open up. And just be, you know how that, like, open up a suitcase and it'd be the glow, that golden glow. They'd be like, oh, my God, what is that?
Yes.
I got tool shit like that. Because all I do is hustle. And I think of things that serve me so I can be successful. And as I get older, it is my responsibility to put everybody on game. Because these are the things I wish somebody had did for me when I was young. Now I have my chance.
That's right. I love it.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say what I really love about this story is that you started that story so humble. You were like, hey, he needed a cook, so I threw on an apron. And had you not done that, because that was a part of your hustle. You know, the part of the plan was just to get a foot in the door.
Exactly.
So...
And that's,
you go.
Have to do. It's really, I've come up with tactics over the years that I can get anything I want because I think differently, right? I give you a good story. We're on a set of games people play, right? And I'm sitting in my truck because I didn't want to sit in the little bitty box they had for me, even though I appreciated it. It just was like I was more comfortable in the truck. And they came and was like, it was an hour before we were supposed to go on set, and they were like, we got two more pages of lines for you. I was like, whoa. You know, and I could have panicked, but I do this, right? Put your money where your mouth is. And I went off in the corner, and I learned them lines. And then we had rehearsal, right? And we had rehearsal, and I'm still trying to learn the lines, and then they broke for dinner. And this is what I tell everybody. You know how today social media, everybody's like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? And people are aggressive and people will run up on you and people will just not, they don't understand that that is not how you get what you want. Mm-hmm. How you get what you want is that you stay humble, you move in silence, you creep in stealth, and you place yourself in front of people and you let them see you hustle. So everybody goes to dinner. Come on, DC, let's go to Denver. I'm good. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to learn my lines while y'all go eat dinner for an hour. Y'all giving me another hour to learn my lines. So now all the ADs and all craft services and everybody's walking around like, what the hell he doing? What's wrong with him? But the director, he don't even want to eat. He want to do his lines. I let them see me hustle, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing that all my life, and that's the key. Because people respect it. When you see somebody putting in work and you see them hustling and they ain't asking you for nothing, but they in front of you hustling, you're going to do whatever you can to help them. You're going to recognize them. You now see them, right? And these are the tactics that I've developed over my life through pure hustle, through study, intellect, and horrific experiences that I've dealt with in my life, but I've also acquired the ability to take any emotion, you know, despair, sadness, envy, hate, and use it and just put it in my pocket. Don't react, put it in my pocket, then I use it later for fuel. Right? And what it does is that it takes out you know, it takes out your ego and it crushes your pride. And it hurts, but after a while, you don't even feel it anymore. And now you can be wrong. You can be humble. Because I love being wrong. Because being wrong to being right. So, like I said, these are all tactics that I use to overcome the things that I have to fight with myself. So when I get in front of other people and when I have to show and prove, I'm ready because I know exactly what I need to do and I'm focused. Now, that's all easier said than done, right?
But true.
But that's what you have to do, and that while everybody else is out doing what they're doing, I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm trying to hone this craft, and I am going to be a better actor day by day, better voice artist day by day. I'm a better artist now than I've ever been. I ain't put out a record in 20 years, right? Mm. But
whoa.
I'm still in the game because I still have to adapt. I still need to know what the young cats are doing. And the problem is that everybody's bitter at what the young cats are doing. Can't, you know, everybody, I do podcasts sometimes. Man, why don't the young people be, why don't they pay us homage? First of all, they don't even know they're supposed to do that. How are they supposed to know they're supposed to pay respect to you? And then second of all, who are you? And then third of all, why are you hating on young people? Right? And I said, you know, why are you looking old and bitter? Right? And that is the fatal flaw right there. And people just give up. And, you know, I try to just talk to people. That's why I'm talking like I'm talking right now, because I don't want nobody to give up. If I had a gave up, I wouldn't have started this podcast with Sprinkles and been proud of it. Right?
Right?
and you know, we're in a pandemic. We're supposed to be on tour, but I know I'm not going to go on tour, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sit there and cry about it. I'm going to take these lemons. I'm going to make me a lemonade company, franchise.
Go ahead. Go on.
Franchise. I'm going to sell it for $1 billion, and we're going to ride. Okay? See, I mean, because, you know, the pandemic, and I don't hate to say it, but I'm just telling the truth, and, you know, because there's two sides to everything in life. And one side, the pandemic was horrific because I lost people. Then on the other side, the pandemic was glorious for me because it was a chance for everybody to stop at the same time. Everybody had to reevaluate. While everybody was sitting around waiting what they was going, figuring out what they was going to do and waiting for us all to turn to zombies and start eating each other.
Exactly.
I was like, what you going to do? And I was like, I'm about to reinvent myself. And that's why I did with voiceover. And I went back, because I record everything I do when I take classes. And I went back and gathered all my classes, and I started from scratch. And it was heartbreaking because I had to listen to my 10-year-ago self. I had to listen, just listen to yourself have a conversation 10 years ago, and it almost makes you cry. I'm telling you.
I know.
But at the same time, you know, that was my first voiceover lesson, and it was horrible and cringeworthy, but it was also inspirational because I understood what it was. I thought it was the coach's fault, you know, because I thought I could just, whoop, there it is, my way through anything, right? And I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Right? And what is being wrong? The path to being right. And I said, I can do this over. And I did that first cringeworthy voiceover script over. And it was purely angelic because I
look
finally had the mastery
of my voice. Look at God.
Uh-huh.
Look at God.
Oh, yeah. God got all kind of sprinkles on me, I'm trying to tell you. And a year ago, the month of March, I listened to 42-hour session, and I started booking instantly, right, because every commercial last year was, we're all in this together, COVID, right? That's what every commercial was like that. And I was good at it. And then next thing you know, boom. You know, before the pandemic, I booked my first national commercial, Pizza Hut commercial. Man, it was going, ooh. Hey, you talking about a bag. But I didn't care about losing the money. Because, you know, it's for March Madness. It would have just been beautiful. But I was just glad I booked. That meant all this hard work, all them classes I went to every day, and I didn't start acting until 2017. I was in class every single day, sometimes 2-3 times a day.
Wow.
Intensives on the weekend. I got every course. I'm grinding. I'm cussing my classmates out because they're not taking it as serious as I am, and they're talking about they want to be actors, right? And I just kept grinding, right? And I did whatever it took. I befriended all the teachers and all the instructors, and I would shoot their intensives and their video and help them set up lights. I was a teacher's pet because I had to learn how to act quick. Cause
right.
I ain't 22. Shoot. The clock is ticking.
But a natural is a natural. A natural is a
natural. But this is the hustle, right? How are we going to tackle this, right? How are you going to be smarter than, how are you going to be smarter than yourself? How are you not going to do what everybody else is doing? How are you going to get exactly what you need to do what you got to do? And I did it, and a lot of my friends, my actress friends are like, why do you talk like you talk? Because I'm always like, I just want to be a working actor. It's like, boy, you are a working actor. Oh, yeah, I am. I'm tripping. But that's how humble I am with it, right? And yeah. So I shoot my first movie from one of my acting coaches who's a cast director in L.A., and they go shoot Nebraska a year ago in April. Then I go up to Nebraska. Mm. I shoot my first movie. Then I shoot my second movie in August. Then I shoot – then I book a Tyler Perry, House of Pain, and then – Publix commercial, and then here come Geico. Right? And, 10 years prior, I had an incident where I was at work at Stroker's. Yeah, I said it.
For real? Are you serious?
Hey, I'm
Are
a
you
DJ.
Serious?
But you know what? But let me tell you something, though. Me DJing in the club is different, right? It's different if I DJ, right? Because I'm not just a DJ. All you kids out there, listen to me. DJ, I am your sound man. I am your lighting tech. I am your photographer. I am your marketing manager. I do your I do your spots for your radio. I do all your flyers. I do your television commercials. I do everything for you. And in return, you pay me six streams of income. Give me health insurance and a life insurance policy. And if I wanted to go to another club because another club know what I do and they know what I'm about, then you're going to pull out your checkbook and you're going to say, you ain't going nowhere, right? So part of my life I was complacent because I was getting that bread in a way, but that was because of my hustle, because you have to be more than just a DJ. You have to make yourself invaluable in everything you do.
That's
right.
True.
So that means you gotta do way more than just enough. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you learn other things. If you're stuck at a dead end job, use that dead end job to be invaluable so you can learn other things. So when you get to your next job, you can be more invaluable. And then next you're gonna be on your own doing your own thing. I learned how to do I learned how to do a business plan working at a strip club because I'm thinking I need to be their marketing manager. So I said, well, how am I going to do that? Put together a business plan. All right, I'm thinking a business plan, just like a little essay, just write down a couple of lines, what you want to do and whatnot. Man, please. They're talking about, okay, we got to have perspectives. We got to have this. We got to know how much this is going to be and what that's going to do and how it's going to affect there and different there. But I did it.
Yeah, you can.
And I became the marketing manager. And then I learned SEO, search engine optimization, how to make websites, how to be seen. Right.
Yes.
And 2011, thought Barack Obama was in our video because a lady called from the New York Times called me at work, and she was like, "I was like, how did you get in touch with me? How did you even find me?" She was like, "It was hard." And then we did press that whole week, and I was upset because we did all this national TV, and I didn't make no money. I was like, I couldn't be found. And I was like, that'll never happen again. So I started SEO, and I got good at it. And it took me till Geico called, because Geico called the tag team phone because I got a website up that ranks for anything I want, because 10 years ago you type in tag team, it was all wrestling. But you type in tag team today, it's called tag team.
Yeah.
Right? So Geico called the tag team phone, and I don't answer, then they go to my IMDb because I'm an actor and I fill out my profiles correctly. They go to my agent, which is the People Store Agency in Atlanta, Georgia, biggest in the Southeast. Then my agent calls me and says, DC, you are in a Geico commercial. And I was like, don't play with me. I ain't even auditioned for no Geico commercial. Why y'all playing with me in a pandemic? I ain't auditioned for no Geico commercial. You called the wrong actor. Like, DC.
Uh-huh.
Geico won't tag team. I was like, wait, what'd you say? Geico won't tag team in they commercial. There it was.
Oh, DC, this is Martin Agency. We want to give you guys a real big bag. So could you give me a call back?
So I'm like, okay, I got to get lawyers. I got to get this. I got to get that. And I was like, wait a minute. Slow your role, player. You got your people already in place. You got your agent. This is what they do.
Yeah.
And because I stuck with what I didn't give up, I didn't quit, I hustle, I think differently, I play stealthily, I get in front of people, I let them see me hustle, and I make myself invaluable,
mm-hmm.
my agent gets me the most lucrative deal of my life.
Whoa.
And we got busy. And then we prepared. I made that. I was trying to get the spinning scoop. Couldn't find nobody to get the spinning scoop. I was like, why can't y'all make me no spinning scoop? So we have our production meeting, and I'm like, I got some ideas, Mr. Director. He's like, whatever you want to do, DC, let's go. I'm a fan. Let's roll. What you want to do, bro? I'm like, man, I tried to make a spinning scoop, but I couldn't find nobody to make it. He was like, that's okay, brother. It will be done tomorrow. I was like, whoa. Oh, I feel like Jefferson now. Moving. I don't straight moved on up, right? Like, what? Okay. All right. Y'all about to buy a whole block? What? Okay. I was like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. It was like, word, we doing it all. And we balled that whole. It was like a club at these people's house that we shot that at. And, you know, Nikki, who's Tasha, the mama, she was from the hip-hop era. She knew every hip-hop dance, every last one, just going through them, just running through them.
Wow.
And and they were all from the same improv troupe. So we was just family, right? And the beauty, what I'm most proud of that commercial is that everybody in that commercial is as black as me.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, they ain't as black as me, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Y'all put some black folks to work. Made some work.
But that is a testament to the Martin Agency because a couple years ago, they had all white men running that company, right? But now they have a beautiful lady named Christine Calebo who is all about diversity. And she was like, we're going to make this the way it's supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was. And because of our inner, because this is what you get when you come to a tag team show. So not only did I prepare as an actor, but it's like, we're going to do our thing as tag team. So it's going down. So like that scenario would be real. If I was in your kitchen cooking greens and fried chicken, we're going to have a good time like that. We're going to be drinking. We're going to be drinking, right? And everybody going to get full, and we're going to talk, and I'm going to have some card tables, and I might have a jungle gym in the back for the kids, and we're going to have a karaoke machine, and we're going to have a ball because it's about what you bring to the party. What you bring to the party. While everybody else bringing cheese and crackers, a bottle of wine, and a casserole, I'm bringing an ice sculpture. Right? I'm going to bring back those two great papers. Huh?
I'm going to tell you what I love about you. I love that you're just fun. Like, you guys, tag team, y'all make that song so much fun. You just can't hear it and not move. All these years later, and when I saw the commercial, Jennifer and I were talking about it, and you just started singing. Jennifer sent me a text and said, guess who's on the show? Whoop, there it is. I'm like, girl, stop playing.
Hey, tag team back again about 82 times. We always back again. We ain't going to never stop. Even if we stop, they had the tag team, it's always going to be back again. You know, hey. I'm telling you, I knew that when I'm sitting in the movie theater and I'm looking at Will Ferrell dance on a table to my song and I don't even know it's in the movie. And I'm like, okay.
I'm really?
Okay. I mean, because we signed a messed up contract like everybody else do, right? And it's just if you can't withstand it. But we couldn't withstand it because I was fighting two record companies. I could fight one, but I can't fight two, right? So I just, you know, I'm a grown man. I take responsibility for it, and I turn them lemons into lemonade. I just end up being a paralegal. I just knew I would have my day in court, and I just gathered all the evidence and I gathered all the discovery and learned what paralegals do. And when it came time to go to court, I gave these lawyers a big box, which saved me 50 G's in research. And they came up with 5-6 ways to win. We won, and we ain't looked back. And you can't give up. You gotta take responsibility for your actions. You know, I'm telling you, it is not an easy thing. I used to beat myself up because, man, I missed that opportunity. I made this mistake. But pandemic taught me this is time to go correct all that. I wasn't even thinking that I could go correct all the mistakes, or the mistakes aren't really mistakes, or those opportunities aren't missed opportunities, because all the opportunities I thought I missed, like sitting in the office with the president of New Line Cinema, and he's telling me he want to, you know, give me a shot to cast for the movie Blade, and it's between LL Cool J and Wesley Snipes, and I'm just looking at him like, okay, whatever. And then I look back on it, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I missed that opportunity. I was there. I'm in the bowels of Disney teaching Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse how to rap. And that was my introduction to voiceover, right? The husband and wife team of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, I taught them how to rap. We made a record called Woomp. There it went. Mickey Unwrapped. and kids been listening to it all this day. And everybody was looking at us like we was crazy. I'm like, you ain't supposed to like this for kids. You mad because we did some stuff for kids? Like, they was trying to give it to us, but I was giving it right back. But then at that time, I didn't really understand it. Now, those aren't missed opportunities. I just wasn't ready.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with not being ready, right, as long as you get ready. And it took me 15 years to start with voiceover. It took me another 20 to even act, because everybody got that dream they want to be an actor. And acting happened by accident, because people store signed me for voiceover. But then I was booking. I had a meeting up there, and I'm sitting in there, and, you know, the owner of the company comes in, and her name is Rebecca Schrager, beautiful lady. And she was like, nice to meet you. I love your face. Put him on camera. I'm like, what? I'm like, huh? And everybody else with their mouth open is like, that don't never happen, dog. I'm like, what I got to do? Well, you got to take some headshots, and you got to go to acting class. And after my second acting class, you know, I was a crackhead with it. And I just did not, excuse me. I was very interested in it, right? I really had to have it. And I ain't stopped. I'm not going to stop, because you can't stop. I haven't stopped anything I've ever tried to do. Now, you can be sidetracked. Like, you know, right, this is a perfect example right here. Everybody's like, DC, you got you a Geico commercial. I know you happy. I was happy the first 2 days, but I know I got work to do, because I don't get to have fun like everybody else did with a Geico commercial. Salt and Pepper did theirs in 2014, and they've been touring to the pandemic. Right, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take these lemons. We're going to get busy. And I said, I need a publicist. And I tried to find a publicist, had a meeting with publicists. They was like, well, it's a pandemic. We don't know what to do. You do a junket in New York, and we do a round robin and this and that and that and this. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate you. Thank you. Now, at the beginning of this conversation, I was telling y'all about my tactics, right? One of my tactics is, whenever somebody throws a roadblock in front of you, somebody's hating on you, don't want to teach you nothing, or you can't figure out how to do something, remember this, y'all. I'm going to say it slow. Join an organization or a society, because every organization and society is full of professionals who have a profession that they've mastered, that have been doing it 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're ready to teach you. They're ready to run their mouth and spill it to you.
Yes.
Right? So I joined. I'm like, y'all don't want to be my publicist, and y'all don't want to be do this public relationship. I'm like, cool. I know some of the stuff to do. I'm going to put this press release together. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But let me join the Public Relations Society of America, right? 2 days in, I jump on a Zoom call, big CEO of a PR firm. I raise my hand. I'm like, yo, our press release is relevant. I know they're relevant. I know what I got, but I just want to, you know, I want to go through the motions. I want to hear her say it. I want validation, right?
Yes.
I want you to tell me my hustle is beautiful, right? See, that's the only type of attention I want. You know what I mean? Hey, tell me my hustle is beautiful. Right? And I raise my hand, and I'm like, our press release is relevant. And they're like, well, what's it for? I'm like, well, kind of featured in a national Geico commercial called Scoop, There It Is. I said it real slow. I said, Scoop, There It Is. And I'm looking at the chat, and it's like, wait a minute, that can't be him.
Wait a minute, is that him?
Commercial. That's him. That my kids love that commercial. My dog love that commercial. Everybody love it. Man, the chat, I blew up the whole Zoom call because everybody was tripping on Scoop, There It Is. Right?
Yes.
Moderator's eyes all big. She looking at me. She's like, you know what? We'd like to welcome D.C. to the organization. Welcome, D.C. I'm glad you joined the organization. We're going to talk about that Geico commercial after the Zoom call, okay? But back to the question, is it relevant? And the CEO's like, heck yeah, it's relevant. Because, and she gave me game. She was like, the whole last year has been COVID. It's been doom and gloom. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Everybody been fighting each other. Everybody been in despair. Everybody confused. Everybody pissed off. Everybody been done wrong. Everybody cooped up with the people they can't stand that they thought they loved, or the people that, you know, I mean, you know, all kind of, you know, secret lover relationships have been exposed. Everything, right?
Oh, God.
Everything has been exposed. We didn't know there's this many ignorant people in the world. Everything.
Yes, everything.
Here y'all come.
Everything.
With some ice cream and some sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
Ice cream and some sprinkles during the ATL and a Geico commercial. Of course that press release is going to work, right? And
right. You
need to go here to get in front of all the journalists. You need to go here to get in front of all of the TV talk shows. You need to go here to get in front of all the news outlets. You need to go here to get in front of all the podcasts. You need to make sure your pictures are like this. You need to do this, this, that, that, that. You should be good. She gave me the entire game in 10 minutes, and I have not looked back, and it has opened my world to things I could have never imagined. All because I didn't give up, because I kept hustling, because I found a way, and I learned how to learn something differently, and it is the reason that we are all sitting here having this wonderful conversation this evening.
DC.
I have got to say, this, folks, is valuable advice, and I'm speaking now as
I was about
owner.
To say that.
Are you? Did you want to?
Yeah.
This is valuable.
I was about to say, DC, you're just so, you don't even know that the podcast you're on, she's a publicist. She's a public relations publicist. So that's just amazing how things go full circle to me. That's just amazing to me.
So I just want to say, speaking as the owner of a PR firm, speaking as an entertainment publicist, when I've talked to people and when I've had clients that get to where they don't want to do something, or I don't want to do that, or they, you know, I get them a few successes and then they think they're too big for any room. And I tell them, look, anytime some, you know, then something happens, they get a bad review and freak out. I go, look, adds up. Everything is important. I don't care if it's a small paper. When I worked this stuff for HBO documentaries, they didn't care if I got the smallest newspaper in town that was made in somebody's basement or the big paper. To them, everything mattered. They wanted everything I could get. Everything. And they didn't say, oh, that's something made in somebody's basement. They don't know. They go, okay, great. Can we get another copy of that? They wanted everything mattered. And what this man is telling you is money. It is truth. It is valuable. And then when people would whine about something, I would say, well, I didn't get this, or somebody didn't give me this kind of review. I said, listen, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be a bestseller. Really? Well, when you're sitting backstage with somebody like Grisham or, a recent guest.
We know you hype.
Tina McElroy.
You get hyped, your mind is so blank. I get it.
Yeah,
it happened to me all the time. It happens.
Tina McElroy Ansa was on here recently,
and
she's one of my favorite authors. When you sit backstage with those people and you don't have any bad stories about somebody giving you a bad review or somebody not paying attention to you, they're going to just take you outside and whoop your behind in the parking lot, as they should.
Right.
It don't happen like that. All people have it. And I always tell people, anything that goes wrong, consider yourself. Yeah, anything that doesn't go the way you want it to go, I always say consider that you just got to have a master class for free. You just got a master's degree lesson for free. Just pay attention and keep that knowledge.
Just pay attention.
And that's just what you did.
You know, and nobody can stop you from doing anything.
No, so just take it like, okay, now I know how that happens, you know. Now I know what this does. I'm not going to let that happen again. And now I know how to get in over there. So everything that goes not the way you want it to, that is I used to say, I used to get down when I had a band, and I'd say anything that went wrong, I'd get down on my knees and thank God that I might have had trouble with my agent. But I also remember when I didn't have an agent. I remember when agents would return my calls. So if I've got trouble with an agent, hey, that means I got an agent. So that's pretty cool. You know, if I've got a big gig, then I got a big gig. So don't sit there. I mean, I remember when I didn't have them. So everything, you know, think about the good part.
You can use it all.
Yeah.
You can use it all. And speaking of agents, I try, you know, I listen, right? And agents can't stand when actors are like, well, how come I'm not doing this? Why ain't doing this? Well, I don't feel like I'm getting this. And all they do is complain. And, you know, what did I say before? The only way you're going to get in is let them see you hustle. So while y'all complaining, I call my agent. I'm like, hey, I just want to thank y'all for I just want to thank y'all for doing the best y'all can for me, because I'm happy with the auditions I'm getting, and I just appreciate it. I just got a question. And they're like, go ahead, DC. And I'm like, well, I'm in this class on Monday, this class on Tuesday, these three classes on Wednesday, this class on Thursday, two classes on Friday, then I'm doing an intensive with this L.A. coach, and then I might go up to New York and do her intensive and then come back and go class again. Just want to know, is there something I'm missing? Like, I'm trying to do the best I can. Is there another class that I could be doing? Is there something better? And they're like, DC, you tripping. Why you call me with that? DC, you in that many classes? You already in the best classes. I was like, well, I just want to make sure, because I'm trying to make us some money. I'm not playing, right? And I just called to tell you I appreciate you, and y'all have a good day. Now, what did I just do? You hustle.
Yes.
The form of a question, right? Mm-hmm. Like people don't even understand. I do five of these a day, right? They're like, why you do so many podcasts and interviews? I was like, because I get better at it every day, every time I do it, and I figure things out because I run my mouth. I come up with different narratives. I'm practicing articulation from voiceover. I'm practicing storytelling for when I act. I'm practicing all these things. I'm killing 14 birds with one stone just by running my damn mouth.
yes, indeed.
Right?
Hey.
I had a friend, corporate dude. You know how corporate people be with times. They be like, so DC, you really need to get the numbers from Geico. I wonder how many they're getting paid, how many times they're playing. Man, you got to get the numbers from Geico. I'm like, man, I ain't about to go ask Geico for it. What do I look like talking about Geico? Give me the numbers. They're going to look at me like, who are you, right? And we arguing back and forth. I'm like, I'm not about to do that. And then, but then at the same time, I'm listening, right?
Right.
I'm listening. And even when we finish, I'm like, I'm still not going to go get those numbers from Geico, but Geico got to get some numbers from somewhere. So maybe I can go pay the people who they get the numbers from to give me the data. So where'd I go?
Yeah.
I went to iSpot TV and I went to Nielsen. Week later, I'm in the boardroom with Nielsen, iSpot TV. iSpot TV comes and be like, we got the data for you already. We want to do an interview with you because we've never had artists run up on us like this, where they talk about, hey, can you help me because I'm trying to put together my value proposition. And people are like, why you need that? I'm like, because I expect to be in bigger deals and bigger deals and bigger deals. And when they come at me like they always do, like, well, y'all only got one song. Well, you only got one Geico commercial. Well, you only this. Well, we can't do this for you. I could slap down a photo and be like, this is why. Because the conversions for the Geico commercial were this, and the Happy Index was this, and this is how many times the DVR was rewound. This is how many times babies loved it. This is how many times dogs loved it and cats loved it. And then you do an aggregate. This is how many times YouTube played it, and this is how many impressions was. So if YouTube plays it 14 million times and there's 2.2 billion impressions, you're going to give me my money. Talk. You got to give me my money. Can I have my money, please?
Give the man his
money.
Hey, go ahead, DC.
I love it. I love it. I love talking like this because I'm speaking people's language and I'm showing them a different way. And this is totally different. I never expected to be though. Old school cat. I was on one with this soap opera actress in L.A. and all her old soap actress friends and agents and all that were listening. And I had an old Jew dude call me, and he said, "Young man, you are incredible. I got a young kid that I want to use your PR firm for." I was like, "Sir, I don't really have no PR firm. I just do it for me." He was like, "What?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "Yeah, I just do it for me. I just really learned how to do this 2 months ago." And I'm going to get that man a heart attack. But now it's one of my allies, old Jew dude in Hollywood, who's telling everybody in Hollywood about D.C., right? And the press release, right? I forgot to tell y'all about the press release. The press release, everything I do serves 3-4 reasons, right? The press release wasn't only just press. The press release was because I knew I had a good story. I knew it was going to get picked up. So I went and got the super-duper package. And now I dropped that press release. In 6 hours, 300 outlets pick it up. But that's not just 300 outlets picking it up and putting it out there. That's 300 do follow, high authority backlinks, back to Tag Team back again. Now my website is a nuclear power engine that can power any website I want to do. I'm in the process of doing one today because Two Little Black Boys was the grand marshals for the Talladega 500 NASCAR.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. We said, "Gentlemen, start your engines." All I had to do was make a video and got a bag. And now I'm about to tell the world this is what we did. But, you know, that's to cloak, "Hey, but this is what DC doing. Check it out, y'all. He's doing this. He's about to be in that. He's about to be this. He's about to do that. He's about to do this." And John Favreau and Dave Leone, he wants to be in the Star Wars universe and live action animation or live action. You need to come holler at your boy. So we're just going to throw it out there. I don't expect it to, you know, this is not a quid pro quo. I'm not saying if I do something, something else got to happen. I play offense. I just keep doing it. I just throw it out there, right? Because if you plant a seed, do you sit down and cross your legs and say, "Okay, seed, grow. Come on, seed. I need you to grow, seed. Come on, seed. Let's go. I'm put some water on you. Come on, seed. I'm put some fertilizer. Why ain't you growing? This seed don't grow. I quit." Right? Now, that don't happen. We've seen people do that. Right? They didn't give that seed a chance to grow. You leave that seed alone. There's seeds I've been planting. Like seeds coming back hitting me in the head 10 years ago. You don't know when that seed's going to grow. But I've planted so many beautiful seeds, and they've all grown that I am standing in a forest opportunity. And I have so much opportunity around me. There's three things I want to talk to y'all about, and I can't even talk to y'all because I'm under a non-disclosure agreement, right?
Those are serious.
So much stuff going on that everybody's like, "You can't do all that, DC." I said, "You're right, I can't. But I tell you what, I sure enough can't prepare for all of it."
Yeah.
Because I don't know which one's going to come back at me. So you better be prepared. That's what the pandemic taught me, too. I was like, all the mistakes you made in your life, you better correct them right now. All the missed opportunities, you better correct them right now. So
I know that.
I got tutors for everything. I got tutors for music industry. I ain't touched a drum machine in 20 years. I'm making beats again. I'm doing all the things that I ever wanted to do because I am not going to leave this earth that I didn't do something.
I believe it, DC. I got to jump in just for a moment. If you've just tuned into the live show here on April 26, 2021, at sometime between 8 and 9 o'clock, this is Madam Perry here with her BFF, Kenya Cobra, and we are talking to DC, the Brain Supreme of Tag Team, and so thrilled. By the way, I need to say I think it's about 2 weeks. Don Webb, a very popular horror and suspense writer, is going to be back here with his newest book, Energy Magic of the Vampire. And if you want to call in, and say something to DC, ask him a question, say something, just give us a call at 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. 9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. Or for people who, and, you know, we've all been here, who are at maybe a job or something where they can't use the phone, you can always send me a message in through Facebook, send the question or comments you want me to ask. This lady, she's a fabulous poet. Her name is Carmen Tanner Slaughter, very, very talented lady. And she sent in a question. She's been listening and saying she's enjoying the show. But one question she has for you that she sent to me is, she wants to know, DC, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
You know what's so ironic? It's just totally ironic because,
oh dear,
when they told me it was going to be about ice cream, it took me back to my childhood because my father used to make us ice cream. He would put,
yes,
the eggs and sugar and the vanilla together, and he'd be like, all right, go hook it up. And me and my brother would go out and get the wooden barrel and get the cylinder and put the ice in it with the rock salt, and he'd bring it out and dump it in the cylinder. And he'd be like, get
busy,
and we'd crank it up. And my favorite flavor was French vanilla because he put extra vanilla in it with a little bit of something he never told me what it was. And it might have been like a little E&J or something. It probably was, because it seemed like we was drunk after that ice cream. Right? But 20 minutes later, I said E&J, didn't I?
You did. You did.
I said E&J.
You're killing me.
Me and my little brother in the driveway eating ice cream, and that's the essence of that commercial, right? I wanted to bring that essence to the commercial of two kids being happy, eating fresh vanilla E&J ice cream.
That's why you saw
y'all tickling me tonight.
That's why you're so happy all the time.
But I let them
know.
Have you. Hey, be careful what you have, what you wish for, asking me questions, boy, because I'm going to give it to you.
I love them. Love the answers.
I'm just, all seriousness, I'm a humble dude, and I owe it all to my parents because my mother and my father worked me like a dog, right? And I'm so grateful for that because I've been stemming collard greens and shucking peas since I was 5 years old, right? I've been cleaning chitlins since I was 7. Like, we had the motherfucker that maybe shovel snow, cut the lawn, hedges, rake the leaves, wash his car. Boy, go get him water when he felt like, I was like, boy. But I don't fear work.
D.C., so y'all took the South to Colorado?
Well, my mother was born in Tuskegee, Alabama.
Okay, now it makes sense. Okay.
Nashville. Every summer, we come down to Nashville and Tuskegee, and all the elders be like, my mom be like, take him, teach him. I be like, Mom, are you going to go get some pizza? Nah, boy, you about to learn how to cook butter beans.
There you go.
And you ain't going to never need no woman. I'm going to teach you how to be self-sufficient. And that's why I have not had a woman cook for me in 30 years because that's how good I cook.
That's how
I really love your mom.
That's how good they taught you. By the way, my friend Carmen Tanner Slaughter, who asked that question, she says, she responded with boozy ice cream. I'm with it. So,
Hey, you know what?
She did right
that,
here.
Hey, I've been around this earth a long time, and she just gave me a brilliant idea, boy. You talk about flipping a Mickey.
So,
and ice cream.
Yes.
What?
So, but you know, your parents did make you this man that knew how to work and knew how to hustle and knew how to create your own opportunities because, you know, nowadays people always, I can't stand it when I see things in magazines, D.C. and Kenya. And I know Kenya. Kenya and I have been friends since 1999. And I know she knows this kind of life, too. These things where people say, what do you do in the summer when your kids say, Mom, I'm bored. Let me tell you something. I would have never said, I'm bored. Because if I did, okay. if I had a chance to be bored, which never happened, I know what I would have heard. Well, get in there and start shelling some butter beans. Well, get out in the garden, you know, and start hoeing. There'd be something for me to do if I said I was bored.
That was my dad's favorite word. Yeah, and the beauty of my childhood is that they didn't make it easy. They were like, okay, so we're going to give you an allowance, and, you know, it's reward and consequences. But we ain't going to never take your money, but we're gonna take from you what you love the most, right? So if we didn't go to church, all right, you can go to church, cool. You can't watch TV for the rest of the day.
Oh, that's
you can't go play football with your friends. Oh, you didn't clean up your room? Okay, you can't watch TV tonight. You think you can stay for a little while, but then you don't test it no more because they take away they take from you the things you love the most, and that's life, right? So if you lazy, you don't got a chance. Right. You don't you have to just keep you got to just do right. And that's part of, you know, discipline. Now, just said and done. But I've never not known work. I had a paper route. I worked at an ice cream shop. I worked at AV department at a university when I was a teenager. Then I started working in restaurants and then, you know, DJing. And so I've always had, you know, it's never really been work to me. It's just been let's get this money. Right. And. You know, that sounds superficial, but it's not. It's like, let's do this. Because over time, you figure out how to spend your money and how to, you know, how to manage your money in a way where you can save for the future. And, you know, it goes back to the one thing my father told me. He gave me the game on money. But everybody says, my parents don't teach their kids this. I was like, yeah, they do. My dad told me when I was a young man, he said, you spend less than you earn, you pay yourself, and you put the rest away. He gave me the game.
That's
what I've been doing the last 20 years. Once I got my fine, once I, you know, became a licensed commodities broker, I'm not a trader because I can't do it. I'm a terrible gambler, right? I get emotional.
Right.
But I can do it slow and fill up all my little buckets and SEP IRAs and Roth IRAs and, you know, all those little instruments and let them grow. And then don't think about it, right? And that's easy. You just got to, and you just do it. And people don't understand that it the game is simple, but everybody's thinking, you know, that other people have some type of upper hand on us, and they don't. Don't ever let – dude was trying to tell me that a couple weeks ago. He was like, see, they got the advantage over us because, you know, our skin is like this. I was like, you tripping, dude. I said, you got the advantage. Because your skin is like that because they ain't going to see you coming. They're going to always underestimate you.
That's right.
They're going to always underestimate you, and then you're going to be in their wake while you playing offense. See, I play chess. I'm seven moves you know,
me
on the board.
Too.
Right?
I'm, and
that's one of the things I got from the pandemic is that we are all in the Serengeti together. So what you going to be, predator, prey? You going to be a lion? You going to be a crocodile? You are going to be an impala getting ate? What you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You going to be a hyena? You going to live in the ground? You going to be one of them warthogs scared of everything? What you going to do? And if you're sitting around waiting for it to come back the way it used to be, I guarantee you, you will be sitting around waiting for it to come back the way it used to be. Because I'm not looking back. I'm looking, I see a whole new frontier.
Amen.
I see everything is brand new. It's all brand new.
And
now you're so far ahead of the game, everybody else got to catch up to you. And this is all custom to you, right? There's no special sauce. There is no secret society. There's none of that. If they change the laws, all right, how'd they change the law? Okay, we good. I know what they're doing. It's all good. You know, people get mad at me about this, but everybody, I do a lot of podcasts all the time. It might be somebody from Idaho, and they might be like, hey, D.C., so what's going on down there with them voting laws? I was like, I don't know. Why are they doing that? That's just terrible. I was like, yeah, but, you know, we've grown up with black people hating on us way harder than the white folks are trying to hate on us. right? And it don't even matter, right? And we don't fold and just stop and quit. We get booked, right? It's like, okay. And I say everybody asks themselves the wrong question. Now, I care about my people, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help my people. But the bottom line is, and this is the only question, are you really going to let them stop you from voting? Because ain't nobody going to stop me from voting. If I got to go get four IDs and bring, a puppy, that's what I'm going to do.
Right?
I don't care. Because you're not going to stop me from voting. And then people argue, what about the old folks? But I was like, do you know any old folks who don't want to go get no ID? You got a year and a half to go get your old folks some IDs if they don't have an ID. And if you're talking with old folks on that, then you know one, it's your responsibility to make sure that happens. For me, what you going to do? Hey, I'm doing podcasts. I'm spitting game like this. I'm letting people know what to do. I'm about to do a series of videos where it's just like, hey, y'all going to let them stop y'all from voting? Y'all going to get emotional about it and get distraught and just fold like that? If you're going to let them win like that, voting wasn't worth nothing to you. Voting is everything to me because our ancestors was lynched. I got ancestors in my family that was lynched. My father, Dr. Cecil Glenn, he started the whole entire Black Studies education in the state of Colorado. And he got thousands of Black people, thousands of ethnic kids through school, because he knew the game in the financial aid department. And he got so many people in through school and educated, and they've always blessed him, right? And he don't even need it, I lived a life full of gifts coming to our house because my father helped so many people be better, right? Get an education where they almost gave up. And he's like, well, no, don't quit. Go over to the office and tell them, this is your lucky day. Go on over there and tell them. They get your financial aid for you. Now this man is mayor of the city, right? Like, stuff like that happens when you know what your value is, you know you know how you can help people, and you know your most effective way to help people. So I know my most effective way to help people is through my voice. So if they need my voice to get buttery and say, Black folks, you need to vote. If they need that, I got you. Other than that, I can't help you because If you let them dictate how you gonna vote, like I know I'm gonna have my absentee ballot, and even if they try to play with it and wait till the last day before, and I gotta go all the way to the south side by the airport because it's inside the airport on Terminal A all the way at the end, where the drop box is. Well, wow. I'm gonna take me a bottle of water, put it in my backpack, make me a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich with some chips, and we gonna ride.
Don't wait till the last day, people.
Everybody's worried about the problem. I was like, and this is kind of what I've evolved to, too. This is what public relations has taught me as well, right? Like, now I think differently in a way that has just happened. Like, this didn't happen. This happened 3-4-5 days before the Super Bowl. I dropped that press release 5 days Super Bowl. That's when I had the PRSA, and that Thursday, Dan Patrick's show called me. They're like, we want you on Super Bowl Friday. I was like, can we do it Monday? He's like, we want you on Super Bowl Friday. I was like, yes, sir. Nope. That's Dan Patrick, so that's national, right? Then a week and a half later, Tamron Hall called me. You are my son's favorite thing. You're going to be on my show. Yes, ma'am. But here's the thing. I always ask everybody, how'd you find out about it? Hey, everybody saw your press release. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank you. Because, like, some people think it's luck. Some people think it's whatever. I know what I'm doing. And I'm not expecting anything back from it. I just throw it out there. Things are happening to me that I have no idea are happening to me because of that press release. And the press release I dropped in the morning, the same thing is going to happen, right? Because I got a big podcast at the end of the week in front of the entire voiceover industry. And I get to sit there and talk to them and have a good time just like we done had tonight. And they ain't even thinking about, dang, I had a good time tonight. I ain't even had nothing to drink.
And this has been a good time. And listen, I've also got a message from Patty in Missouri. Said she is having so much fun. She says, I am loving. She says, I love the show. But this is probably my number one favorite, maybe number two and number three altogether. Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that.
Oh,
she and her husband, Rusty, are listening
to
it up there in Missouri. And I know I have to let you go because if I keep you too long, we don't want you to. We want you to come back, Kenya, and I want you.
And I could be here all night. I got game for 4 or 5 hours, and I can call you tomorrow and give you 4 or 5 hours more. Don't even play with me. We just scratched the surface. You know how you be young and you talk on the phone till you fell asleep and you start slobbering and you woke up like, damn, I was slobbering and talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And they're yelling at you. That's how we be right now. Somebody been on fall asleep, fell asleep and slobbered on their arm.
Yeah.
And had to wake up and know that they did that and had to fess up to us because I ain't about to fall asleep because I can go. I don't care because I love life. You get one life. And I have always had fun doing what I've done. I've had heartache and despair, but I use it, right? I use it as fuel to get to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That's why people are like, what are your goals? I don't have no goals. I just play offense.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to be prepared. My goal is to be prepared. And if something comes my way, I can handle it. And I'm not just a fish out of water. You know, what I was getting ready to say is that my whole game now is solutions, right? You know, because my mother has Alzheimer's, and it's been pandemic. It's been a rough pandemic. She had COVID. She done whooped his butt. She good, right? But, you know, I want to give my mother a better life than being in a memory care facility, right? And my brother's frustrated. We all frustrated. But there's no way that we can do it, right? And I'm like, you know, my brother calls me frustrated. I said, you know what, man? What is your fantasy solution to this whole thing? Because mine is we have 20 people on deck. We bring mom back home and everybody get paid. So because the problem is when you have income home care, if there's a snowstorm or somebody's lackadaisical or somebody don't want to come to work, then my mother don't have 24-hour care, then my brother got to go over there, right? And that can't happen because he's a doctor. So that's not going to happen. So that's the ultimate solution. That's the far-fetched solution. But then what you do is you work from the far-fetched solution back to practicality, and you come back. Well, maybe if we had 10, maybe if we had 5, well, maybe if we had 3, and we had 3 nurses that could go over to the memory care facility, bring her back home, play with her at home, take her to get her hair done, bring people over, give her manicure, pedicure, cook for her, have a good time with her, and then take her back. That's a better quality of life than what she's getting now, just being stuck in that spot. Right?
Right.
So
right.
My whole thing is about when people come to me with problems, I'm like, what is your solution? And people are like, what? I don't know what. So you're looking at the glass all like you ain't got no water in that glass, but you got a half a glass of water. The glass is half full.
That's
you act like it's empty. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's amazing. I had this actress. She was so upset. She worked all week on this audition, and then she had technical problems, didn't do the audition. She was upset, called me, ready to fall out and cry and be like a little kid and just distraught. And I said, okay, cool. I'll let you have your little temper tantrum. Now, that's the glass half empty. What's the glass half full?
Thank you.
And she was like, just tell me. I was like, Dave, than you were yesterday. You wasn't going to get that audition, but you did the work. You did the work. That's the most important thing is the work, the reps. You don't go to the gym and go, all right, I'm going to do one set. All right, I feel good. I'm out of here. No. You got to put them reps in. You got to put them sets in. You got to put the work in. So even if you see, when you get emotional about expecting the role or the audition, I can't wait to get to the next audition because the more auditions I do, I know the closer I am. Because you got to go. It's like the dude, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all going to love this one. Y'all know the dude who just look at him. He go through the whole restaurant, the whole club, or the whole hair salon, trying to talk to every woman in there. And he just runs through him, and you're like, I hope you don't come over here with me. He better not. I'm going to cuss him out. He better not come over. He goes through every woman. And you're like, and you know, brother like me, I'm like, hey, dog. Why you talk to every woman in here, all them, why are you trying to talk to every woman in here? I was like,
right.
That doesn't make no sense. And he was like, yeah, dude, shoot. I got five phone numbers. All I need is one. I got five. I said, boy, that's game right there.
Hey, DC, hold on just a minute. We got somebody calling in. But I want to say before you go, I feel like I've been to a revival meeting. And I just
yeah,
want to say,
I didn't mean to text y'all all night. I'm sorry.
No,
I love
to keep you. We want you to love us and come back. And
yes, we
my
do.
Show,
come back whenever y'all want.
We want
whenever
you to come back
want,
on,
I promise.
On Kenya's show. And you know what? I've got shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come to mind.
I want you to be on a show in Singapore, my friend Carrie on Harry. You know, I had one client say, I don't want to be on a show in Singapore. Why not? The national language
me.
There is
use
English.
Me.
I'm going to send you.
Use
it's a great
me.
Show.
I don't mind.
She said
it ain't
use
number
me.
Work. Use it ain't
me.
Nothing
I'm
but work.
All right, Bill.
It ain't
I'll
work.
Use you.
Use
okay.
me. Use me because
I love it.
Because what we're doing is good for people. Right. People might have had a bad day today and they listen to this and we done changed some people's lives just by laughing and having
it.
A good time and saying sprinkles. I'm gonna leave y'all now.
like the lady doing my COVID test at the studio. Sprinkles. That's the guy that says sprinkles. Hey, got a caller coming in. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon. I'm glad you're here on the air with the man who has been number one on the Billboard Hot R&B charts. Was on top 10, 16 weeks, number one on Billboard. And then after that, stayed in the top 10 for 24 more. DC Ooh. Brain Supreme. So come on in here. Tell us who you are.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Peter G. I'm a cartoonist out in the Chicago area.
Hi, Peter.
Hi there. How you doing?
Doing great.
Oh, man.
Well, I had an unusual question that I wanted to ask. I mean, you... One thing that I run into a lot with a lot of in my field is a lot of people that, you know, they say that, you know, some people don't deserve auditions, they don't deserve opportunities in that because they're not formally trained. You've had a very circuitous route around showbiz. How do you compensate for the fact that you did not go through, like, the college classes and the formal training and all the things that everybody else says you got to do?
Really, my silence kind of just answered that question because what? Think about it. You know, for me, that meant I had to go harder. That's why I was in class 7 days a week instead of one class at a college or one class at this or one class at that because I had to have the knowledge. That's why I joined organizations. There's way more ways to get educated. Right? Like we're in a different time, right? Like, this is what I call it, okay? I call it learn how to learn, right? That's the concept because you get a long email, right? Here's a perfect example. You get a long email. You might read the first two lines, but you know it's a long email, so you start daydreaming. You ain't get in, it's like 2 weeks before you read that email. You know you need to read that email, but not me. I'm going to dump it in the AI. Now that email is being read to me. And I'm looking at the other emails. I'm multitasking. And then I'll catch something with that email saying, I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. Now I'm reading along with the AI that's reading back to me. I learned how to learn. Right? Nobody tell you nothing. If you think that they say you can't do it because you're not classically trained, be like, okay, thank you. And use it. Yeah. Put it in your pocket. Don't react. Use it because that's fuel for you to do it. Not to get revenge or show them, but to do it because if you do it, one day that person's got to come. You're going to talk to them. They're still going to be your friend. They're still going to like you. But you both got to look each other in the eye. And that's enough. So don't – and you know, even – here's how – why – you said classically trained, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still there? Okay,
yes,
so
I'm still there.
Check this out. That's how the pandemic changed everything, right? Because the hardest thing for me for auditions was I didn't have a reader because I'm a bachelor. I'm a single dude. I ain't trying to have nobody around reading. I ain't got nobody to say, hey, read for me for this audition. No, I got to go cross town, pay $70, and then be nervous And then they don't be reading right. They don't give me nothing to help me. And then I leave there with a bad audition, and I'm pissed off, and I lost 3 hours out of my day, right? We all done been through that. We all done been through it. Could be around the corner. It still take time, right? So pandemic changed everything because they shut everybody down simultaneously. Now, there's a site called We Audition. We Audition is like a Zoom for actors. So everything is built into the site. You can have your takes. All you got to do is build a rig. You can do it as simple with a simple iPhone. But I got a rig with microphones and my computer, eye lines, all kind of stuff, right? And I've got a business who's been shut down by COVID just like me. And now that they can't make no money, they're making money by being readers for people who are in places that are auditioning. So now, not only am I auditioning because I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and we got it going on down here, but I am auditioning with actresses from New York. I'm auditioning with Broadway actresses. I'm auditioning with soap opera actresses in L.A. I'm auditioning with Juilliard-trained actresses who are my colleagues. I'm auditioning with people across the pond all in Europe, and they are classically trained actors. And now we're working out together like we're in the gym because they're teaching me their game. I'm teaching them my game. And now my trajectory as an actor has increased 100-fold because I'm working with working actors. Yeah. I'm working with people who sat in all them classes like I did. I'm working with people who've been to all those conservatories. I'm working with people who do this, and they love me because of my hustle and what I bring to the table because they ain't never seen this. And then they live vicariously through me because, perfect example, Keisha Thompson, beautiful actress in L.A. And I'm like, Keisha, I got this audition for at 12 o'clock. They're talking about they want to be turning at 5, or I ain't going to do it. She's like, boy, if you don't get up and do that audition, come on. And I did that audition, right? And you know what that audition was? Game what? People Play Season 2.
Yeah.
My first TV book, that was the first TV show I booked, and it was because of her. And she'd get anything. And this is what I did. Okay, so this is so you asked the question, right?
Right.
Well, I said, I want to do something nice for her, but I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, excuse my French, tricking off with her because I'm trying to just give her money because I appreciate her, but she's thinking that I'm trying to do something else. I'm trying to keep it pro, right? But we'll do it together because she's in L.A. She's where all the best classes at. I got girls from New York where all the best classes at. I got women from across the pond. I can't use them for auditions because they got accents. So if I'm doing something for George Pierre, I can't use that because I need somebody culturally sound that makes it believable. But I can train with them. I can rehearse with them. Not only can I do auditions with them, I can train with them. And the $75 that I was paying to go do a half hour, I can do $25 an hour with these people. And they're all actresses from all over the world. I got a girl in Botswana. I got a girl in Nairobi, Kenya. I got a girl in Brazil. I got a girl in Australia. I got a couple dudes, but dudes don't be bringing nothing to the table. And I just bond with women better because of my past, you know, we know, but we ain't got to go back to that. But, right, I said, Keisha, I came up with, I was like, I can't, you know, class was like $600, $500. I was like, you know what, I got to do this for her because I'm a man of my word. But then I came up with a brilliant idea. I said, look, the class for me. And then when we do auditions, you're going to teach me everything you learn in this class. Now I feel good. I start doing that with everybody. I do that with the girls in New York. I say, you want to take a class? Find the best class you want to take. I'll pay for it, and you teach me while we audition. That's a practical use, right? Mm-hmm. That's in the corridor use. That's in the zone use because it's custom fit to my lifestyle because I'm auditioning like crazy. Sometimes I do 4 or 5 auditions a day. And it ain't because I'm lucky. It's because I hustle. I let them see me hustle. Man, people don't even know that I'm even in Scoop, There It Is, or Tag Team, or Womp, There It Is. Studio just Friday, right? And they didn't even know. I booked I did my session, and I was out. They found out. Now, that's the game to change. That can change the game. But if it don't, I change the game myself because of my hustle and because of my preparation, because I do this. So don't ever let nobody tell you that you can't do something because you ain't classically trained.
What?
Put in the work. Like,
yeah.
Everybody, I'm telling you, I'm on. We audition 2-3 hours a day, right? That's like going to the gym. You're gonna get better. I've gotten better, like I said, 100 times fold. All my little quirks and idiosyncrasies and things that I used to do when I act, just to, you know, how you might do a so you can find your words and remember your lines and all the little things like that. That casting directors know what you're doing. They know you're not ready. They're not there no more. You know what I mean? I'm not talking loud. I'm not trying to act, right? And remember what I was talking about? Put it in your pocket. When they was hating on you, telling you got to be classically trained, put it in your pocket. So now you get a script. Oh, these people's hating on me. Ah, I know what I can use. And now you don't have to be a character or a caricature. The character becomes you. And it's authentic because you lived it. Come on now.
Peter.
Don't ever let nobody tell you you can't do nothing. Don't ever let nobody tell you there's a right way or a wrong way. Now, there are traditional ways of doing things. But what I've been finding out, that I talk to masters and they tell me the traditional thing, I'll be like, I understand the traditional way, but let me run this by you. And I leave them with their mouth open because they be like, I got to help this dude because I ain't never heard of nothing like that. You know, it's not about trying to do everything. It's about being prepared for everything. It's the difference. Preparation is everything, right? There are scripts I know scripts inside out that I know I'll never do. I know there's a lot, I don't even expect to get auditions. I just like doing the work now. I had to make myself, you know, it's that's the game. If you know that you got to do 1 million auditions to get to the game, to get to the pie, why wouldn't you do 1 million auditions to get to the pie? Why are you trying to circumvent it or hope you get lucky? Or I get on these clubhouses and everybody be like, oh, well, the casting director, I don't know if he's going to like my hair blonde or black. And, you know, because they all want me to come in their room. I talk and I have people ask me questions. And I'm like, well, are you in class? No, I wanted to go to a class. Said, have you been to class the pandemic? Well, no. Hey, well, do you train? Well, I do a couple, but my agent's not doing what he's supposed to do for me. And my manager, I was like, you got an agent and a manager, and none of them doing what they're supposed to do for you? I was like, babe, you need to holler at me because you worried about the wrong thing. You are worried about the wrong thing. They had this little girl in there crying one time, and she was just all emotional and everything, talking about she wanted more auditions. She couldn't get auditions and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what's think about that, DC? Because they was all, are you okay? You're more than enough. They're trying to comfort her and stuff. And I'm just like, I'm ready to just cuss this little girl out. But I said, baby, let me tell you something. If I was a casting director, I would have booked you. If this was a script, it was perfect. But that ain't what this is about. I said, you worried about the wrong thing. Everybody worried about booking. And I was worried about it too. But once I figured out that you gotta go through it, ain't no way around it, ain't no way under it, ain't no way over it. The only way to it is through it. So just do it. Just grind and do as many as you can. And in every class you can, learn from everything you can. And don't let nobody tell you what you can and cannot do. You in Chicago. You up in one of the biggest. You're probably in the improv capital of the world. Mm-hmm. If you don't got a bunch of actors in that city that y'all can get together and work together and do things together and learn from each other, that's what the game is, right? Because you've all been in class. You all doing things. You know, you're a cartoonist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, have you ever thought about joining a cartoonist organization?
No, because not the ones I've talked with, they generally give very general answers. Like, there's one guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but he came up with this whole thing
about organization. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about an organization that does animation. There's about 10 of them. All you got to do, All you got to do is go to the website and call every phone number on that website and ask all the questions that you're trying to find out. And somebody is going to love to run their mouth and spill the whole game to you. So you give me every reason why you can't do something instead of one reason why you can. You can't do that, bro. You got to ask questions. You got to go through every single organization and ask questions. Ask whatever you need to. Hey, I didn't know what a hedge fund was when I passed the Series 3 test for Life Commodities Broker, and I'm thinking I'm a broker. I'm like, I want to have a hedge fund, but I don't know what a hedge fund is. And I'm like, well, how am I going to find out what a hedge fund is? Well, why don't you call a hedge fund manager? I called a hedge fund manager. I was like, hey, my name's DC Tag Team. I'm trying to have a hedge fund. I can get you Dominique Wilkins. I can get you Primetime Deion Sanders. I can get you all the stars. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in A. He's like, I love y'all's record. Cool. So now I got meetings in New York, Las Vegas, L.A., San Francisco. I go to Vegas. Now I'm in the boardroom with these folks, and I don't know nothing about no hedge fund, but I'm like, why should I let y'all use my hedge fund? Why should I let y'all manage my hedge fund? They're like, well, D.C., because of this, that, and this, because we do this, and then our number's like this, and we're better than everybody, and this. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but this, and they just keep pitching me. And while they're pitching me, they're teaching me.
Ah.
Learn how to learn, bro. You a cartoonist. Okay. Your field is
Peter.
In demand.
Peter.
I'm here.
Peter, you're so quiet. Talk to me. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?
I'm listening. I always find it better to be quiet and pay attention when someone who knows what they're talking about is talking.
I love that. I love
about.
That
That's
you're just so in tune.
Hey, man. Hey, let me tell you something, man. Only thing hold you back, bro, is you. Get out there and start asking questions. Don't let nobody ever tell you you can't do nothing. And you know what? And the worst part is the people that love you the most is going to hate on you and tell you you can't do something because they care about you. And they ain't hating on you. Now, look, they might be hating a little bit, but they care about you. And you can't pay attention to that. You can't put your emotions with it. You have to get in there. You have to find the questions that you want answered. You know, you got to impose your will upon people. Closed mouth don't get fed, bro.
I see
and
you doing
I'm
great.
I'm 300 pounds, so I eat. DC got to eat. Ain't that my email, right? DC got to
eat.
Yahoo.com.
Yes, it is. That's his email. DC got to eat.
And they ain't got nothing to do with food. That's all that got to do with hustle.
I see Peter doing great things in his future. I see it.
I do too.
Hey. And because I know SEO, you can type in anything tag team, Peter, and you can find me and hit me up. And I'll help you. I ain't going to give you the whole game. I'm going to give you a piece because I got to know you're worthy. I got to know you're going to follow through if I give you the whole game. And that's what I do for these young cats in the music industry. I'll be like, hey, man, DC, put me in the game. I'll be like, all right, give me an email. I send them a file. File got a book in it. I said, if you can't read or don't want to read, there's a video in there. Once you do go through that, hit me back and we'll talk about it. And I tell you, 98% of the people don't call me back. Just on that little task. So I don't waste my time with people. But 2% that do, they're like, man, I'm still confused, but I get this part, but I don't get this part. Okay, cool. I know you put forth effort. Now let me give you the game. I tell them what it is, what it's about, boom, boom, boom. It's like, okay, I understand that, but how's that got to do with the music industry and all this and all this? I said, dude, I am fully confident now that you will never get taken advantage of like I was taken advantage of when you get into the music industry because you know music publishing inside out because I done gave you the game. And I've given you the back end before I gave you the front end. See, the front end is the girls and the money and the cars and fame and all that. The back end is when you fall and crash and hit the ground, what you got left. And most people got nothing because they didn't look at the back end before they looked at the front end, right? Mm-hmm. You hear that term? Can't put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody does in the music game. I did it. So my mission for the rest of my life and my responsibility and my gift is to tell people the things I wish people had told me. If I had told me that when I was young, I still probably would have did it my way, but at least somebody would have told me, right? And it might have snuck in a little bit. So I'm telling you today, sir, don't let nobody dictate what you do, how you do it, your hustle. If you want it, how bad do you want it? Period. Learn how to learn. There's all kind of ways to learn, man. It's on you. Ain't nobody stopping you. Not where you live, not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You there, dog?
I'm
I know
here.
Your work,
I'm
Peter.
Here.
I know you're good. I know your work.
It's I'm not. Did you see? Did you saw the movie Ratatouille by Pixar?
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
Remember Gusto's little lecture? You must be imaginative, strong-hearted. You must try things that may not work, and you must not let anyone define your limits because of where you came from.
Yeah.
Anyone can cook, but only the fearless can be great.
That's right.
Hey, man, that goes to everything. I don't want to do all the stuff I do. I get up every morning lazy as hell. I don't want to do this and do that. There's a whole bunch of stuff I don't want to do, right?
Okay.
But
yeah.
I do it anyway. I do it anyway because it got to be done. And that's the difference between good and great.
Yes,
period.
All right. Like
you
got to
do it, man.
I know you're
play
good.
Offense. Good,
I know
dude.
You're good, Peter. Listen. Listen to this man. And I feel like a slacker. Kenya's always telling me I'm hustling. I feel like a slacker listening to DC. But I'm not going to slack tomorrow or tonight, maybe. Thank you so much for calling, Peter. For everybody that's listening, listening
thank
messages,
you, Peter.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for taking my question.
All right, and hey, if you get down here to Atlanta, maybe I don't know, Peter, about you, but I think that me and Carmen and Kenya, we might even show up at Strokers one night. Who knows?
Oh,
we might need to do some research.
Hey! I retired from DJ in 2015 because I don't want to be a 50-year-old DJ. The thing I love the most, everything. I couldn't do it no more. Now, I couldn't do it because of the clubs. I couldn't take the clubs more. It was destroying my spirit. But I still DJ because we do shows. So if we got an hour show in the first half, I'm going back to the 90s, and I'm back in Club Michaels and Atlanta Live and all the big clubs I did in Atlanta.
All right.
Oh, flashback. Flashback.
Right here with
flashback.
T and Kenya. Flashback. We're Atlanta girls. All right.
Flashback.
Hello. PC, it's been great. Kenya, I love you for taking this round
love
with me and
more.
Being my best friend. Everybody to follow this advice. Don't let anything stop you from getting what you want. And remember, like I said, even if it doesn't go the way you want it to, that's a valuable lesson. You've been to college. Like I said, with me, hey, when I had trouble with an agent, hey, that meant I had an agent. So listen to this man. And we'll keep following you, DC. We think you're wonderful. I want to hear a big, let's see, let me get the right sound effect for it. I want to hear a sprinkle. Sprinkle! That's my sprinkle sound. And we have not said, what have we not said tonight? We have not said.
There it is.
That blows people away. Everybody think they're going to have this conversation about what we used to do on tour buses and all that. We ain't talked about Womp There It Is. But everything is Womp There It Is, though, right?
There
everything,
you go.
Womp There It Is is the genesis of most of this, right? Like in certain things. Womp There It Is because of the heartache I went through with that and the success is who I am today. I wouldn't have learned a lot of these things if I hadn't gone through what I went through. So sometimes we have to go through things in life to get to the good stuff. And then you realize it's worth it.
So
it's all worth
tag
it.
Team back
and
in.
This is pure gold. And come back sometime and talk to us about the ups and downs, the euphoria of having a big record, tragedy of getting a bad contract, and then coming right back. I want you to come back to the show because we are just so proud that you took that you were so generous, DC. You were so generous with your time. For us tonight, and all not only your time but all the valuable information you gave us. So, everybody out there,
well, we were so happy.
bugs, they